Good evening, good evening. Come on in. We're ready to begin our Bible study. Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study with Dr. Murray and Lady Kim.
All right. I hope everybody's had a blessed day today and that you're ready yet prepared for this dive into the Word of the Lord. We're in Joshua, the 12th chapter tonight, and I believe, Lady Kim, there are about 24 verses there, and it's pretty repetitive in terms of what we're going to discuss, but we'll go ahead and see if we can get through
12 or 13. Okay, I thought we were in 13. I thought we covered 12 last week. I think we're in 13. Because I read all those names last week.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I hope everybody's doing good, and let us know that the sound is clear and that you're getting a good signal. We can just do a recap of 12 and dive right into 13 tonight. Let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. God, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day and we thank you for our lives. We thank you for an opportunity to gather around your word. We pray to the Lord that you will strengthen us where we are weak and yet build us up where we're torn down. And then God, even as we prepare to study your word, we know that your promises are sure. Your word is a light, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we pray that you will receive our praise and our worship and our time together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And praise God.
Amen.
All right. 13th chapter of Joshua. And there's a lot that's taking place here, Lady Kim. And I think I left my notes upstairs, but you're well prepared, so I won't have to worry about that.
I'll run and get them well.
You don't have to worry about
it. Tissue.
That's
you need some tissue.
We're live, Reverend.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'll go ahead. You go ahead and get started.
All right. On Sunday, on yesterday, Pastor preached from the topic or the subject, Any Place Grace. Any Place Grace from Philippians 4:10-13. Yes, amen. And so Philippians 4:10-13 talked about talks about how I praise thee, Lord, that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And that's a familiar passage of scripture. You know, it says another passage reads, or another version reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And so there were just a couple of 3 points that Pastor lifted up on yesterday. The Any Place Grace is a place of learning, living, and leaning. Learning, living, and leaning. Amen. So when we're talking about Any Place Grace being a place of learning, we have to learn how to be content in whatever situation that we're in. Sometimes we're not content with where we are or what we're going through. But in this particular passage of scripture, Paul is saying that we have to learn how to be content in whatever situation we're in. We have to learn how to live with a little, and we have to learn how to be joyful when we have a little, and learn how to be joyful when we have a lot. Amen. Because we know that God provides all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And we know that we can do everything with God's strength. And also, living It says, in every situation, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether you're full, whether he's has a full stomach or an empty stomach. He said that he's learned how to live with abundance or with little.
Okay, all right. And what was that last point? Because I didn't get to any of those. But I was trying to get to my points yesterday, but was not able to do that. But what was the last one?
leaning.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last point, leaning.
Okay, all right. You just finished the exercise, Reverend. I see how this worked now. Okay, so that's the way you do it. You said it while you're not doing, and then
I don't know how it turned off.
Okay, all right. But no, I plan to just get in depth, do a deep dive into those 3 points this coming Sunday. But we're open to however the Lord leads us. But really, the grace is the key thing. It's an any place grace, an anywhere grace. And we have to learn how to be content, as you just indicated, and make the necessary adjustments going forward so that whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether we have our back up against the wall or whether we're living really good, it makes no difference. God's grace is available and accessible, and God is available and accessible. And so we have to rely on God to see us through and have to trust the timing of God in our situations and in our circumstances. And when we understand completely about his grace being available to us, then we know that if nobody else has us, if nobody else is on our sides, then God's got our back. And so it's an any place grace, and I think that helps us even as we talk about being a visible witness to his invisible grace. We know that God is yet present in the midst of whatever it is we're going through and whatever we're faced with. He's promised in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us.
That's the word.
He said he'd be with us always. Even until the end. And so we know that we can always count on God. Man might let you down. People might let you down. But God will always have your back, and he'll be there. Even when you don't understand what you're going through, you have to hold on to his unchanging hand. And he'll walk with you through the valleys. He'll walk with you through the good times as well as the bad. But we have to make sure that we have a clear perspective on our situation and our circumstance and know that God will do exactly what he said he would do. And so for somebody who's listening tonight, and we praise God for each of you who are on the call, no matter where you are, and it may not look like what you think it's going to look like when God is finished, you just continue to trust God. Don't grow weary. Don't faint. Don't fall out. Don't fall apart. Don't go back, you know, because a lot of times when people see things not going the way they think they ought to go, mm-hmm. they think God is not at work. But we have to make sure that we hold on to his hand and don't go back, because that's what the enemy is trying to do. And one of the things that we really kind of brought out in that introductory set up on yesterday is that we're in a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare that's happening. And anytime the Lord blesses, anytime the Lord prepares us for what he yet has in store for us as it relates to our destiny, the enemy is not going to sit still and sit back in splendor isolation and just weep and cry because you are moving forward and you're being victorious. No, he's going to accelerate his game. He's going to try to do everything he can to get you to take your eyes off of what God has promised so that you won't be successful and you won't be victorious. But tonight, as we said on yesterday, we decree and declare that we shall be victorious. The victory shall be ours, and that God has not forsaken us. And so he's trying to get something done in us even as we move through whatever it is we're going through. And so I want to encourage you tonight to hold on, because help is on the way.
Amen.
Somebody type, help is on the way.
Amen.
That's right. Help is on the way. Mm-hmm. So God is not finished with you yet. That's why you're still here. And he wants you to be a witness. That's why he has you on display, so that others can see just how good he is and how He can sustain you just, and he can sustain them the same way he's sustaining you. You didn't make it by yourself. Make no mistake about it. But it's all because of the goodness and, come on, somebody type it in, the grace of God. And so we know that God will see us through.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So that's just a brief recap from yesterday. That information in the video, of course, is available on our website, anointedtemple.org. And we hope and pray that you can get a chance to, if you didn't participate and was a part of our worship service on yesterday, that information is archived and you can go back and view it at your leisure. And so we praise God for each of you on the call tonight. And we're going to be in the 13th chapter of Joshua. And we did finish up the 12th chapter on last week. And it looks like they're doing a victory lap here in the 12th chapter as they have conquered, as they have moved throughout their territory that God has promised them. And now they are calling the roll of those who have succumbed and those who were not able to endure in the battle. And I think that 24th verse of the 12th chapter said the kings of were numbered about 31, all of the kings that went down in battle as Joshua is now making his southern move and going and conquering the territory that God had already promised. People are there. He's trying to mask his forces, and these kings had rallied against Joshua and the children of Israel. And Joshua, they're calling the roll. They're making a victory lap, if you will, and they're celebrating all that has happened as they continue to move forward in this conquest to claim the promises that God had already prepared for them.
Amen. And there's land yet to be conquered.
That's right.
So I believe when we go into this 13th chapter, it's going to talk about the distribution of the land. You know, still a lot of nations again to be conquered. And then the assigning of that land to Jordan, east of the Jordan, to Levi and to Reuben and to half of the tribe of Manasseh. So now the different tribes are getting land parceled out to them or assigned to them.
Okay. All right. And we're in the 13th chapter of Joshua. For those of you just joining us, we know that we have two different ways of you connecting with us. And we praise God for each of you on the call. This 13th chapter, Lady Kim, starts out very interesting because it starts out with just giving a description of the state of mind of Joshua and the fact that he is maturing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Joshua was old and he was stricken in years. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord reminded him of the fact that that he was old. He said, "Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remains yet very much land to be possessed," just like you just indicated. Now, the interesting thing about that, just that one verse, and Lady Kim is going to start reading here in a minute, is that many times people fail to realize that when Joshua received this challenge and when Joshua took over from Moses, that he was already 80 years old. Mm. And a lot of people don't seem to understand. And many times when we look at 80, we think that that's a time of settling in and retiring. And we have really kind of stopped. You know, we're not continuing to put the metal to the pedal. And we're just kind of letting up off of the gas. But here it is. God can use you even at 80 years old.
Wow.
And I was thinking about that because Bishop Benjamin celebrated his birthday over the weekend, 80 years old. But he looked like he still has a lot in the tank. And you never know how God can use you and how God can continue to bring things to you that he wants to be accomplished. Just because we put a numerical aspect on when it's time for us to retire or stop working, that doesn't mean that God has put a period at the end of your time that he wants to use you. So be encouraged. Don't retire and sit down and just decide that you're not going to do anything else for God. God can use you even more so after you have completed all of the assignments that you have on your job and different other things that you might think were necessary. But God still has a necessary work for you to do. Amen. And so don't allow your age to be the thing that determines when you're going to sit down or when it's time for you to stop.
Amen. Amen.
Anything else, Lady Kim? So I think I kind of got this study mixed up a little bit. I was looking at 12, but you're right. We did do 12 last week. And so you ready to go ahead and start reading 13?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. The Joshua chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. When Joshua was an old man, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. When Joshua was an old man, the Lord said to him, "You are growing old, and much land remains to be conquered. This is the territory that remains. All of the regions of Palestine and the Gerasites, and the larger territory of the Canaanites extending from the stream of Sihor on the border of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Akron. It includes the territory of the five Philistine rulers of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The land of the Avites in the south also remains to be conquered. In the north, the following area has not yet been conquered. All the land of the Canaanites, including Merah, which belongs to the Sidonians, stretching northward to Aphek on the border of the Amorites, and the land of Gebulite, and all of the Lebanon mountain areas to the east, from Baal-Gad below Mount Hermon to Lebamath, and all the hill country from Lebanon to Misrephthmaim, including all the land of the Sidonians. I myself will drive these people out of the land ahead of the Israelites. Be sure to give this land to Israel as a special possession, just as I have commanded you. Include all the territory as Israel's possession when you divide this land among the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh."
Okay.
That's through seven.
Okay, that's through seven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot going on here, and we see, as we just indicated, Joshua is coming close to a time where he is really growing old, and he's stricken with old age, but there's still yet work to do. And just as we indicated, we can't put a time frame on when God is through with us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when he indicated much land to be possessed is a clear indicator that he was allowing him to continue to be in a conqueror's attitude and a mindset as he moved forward. And then you described how they are parceling out the land now to the nine tribes. And it's interesting that it's nine when it was originally 12.
Mm-hmm.
But God had already made provisions for some of the tribes before we get to the 13th chapter. And he expressed that, I think, over in the 12th chapter about the tribes that he had already set aside some land for to possess to the Reubenites and the Gittites and the tribe of Manasseh.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are nine tribes here that they are really distributing and setting up these tribes so that they can inherit this land as they are possessing it, that they setting up base in these particular territories.
Mm-hmm.
So any comments, any questions there?
Not on this particular part.
Okay, all right. So that's the first seven verses, of this 13th chapter. And I think we're going to try and, let's see, how many verses? There's 33 verses. Let's go ahead and read through verse number 15, and then we'll see if there's anything that's interesting that we need to put a pin in and just kind of talk about what God is doing in this situation.
Okay, verse number 8 of the 13th chapter of Joshua. Half the tribe of Manasseh and the tribes of Reuben and Gad had already received their grants of land on the east side of the Jordan, for Moses, the servant of the Lord, had previously assigned this land to them. And you just mentioned three tribes had already had their land assigned. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, to the plain beyond Meba as far as Dibon. It also included all the towns of King Sihon of the Amorites, who had reigned in Heshbon and extended as far as the borders of Amnon. It included Gilead, the territory of the kingdoms of Geshur and Micah, all of Mount Hermon, all of Bashan as far as Selkah, and the territory of King Og of Bashan, who had reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei. King Og was the last of the Rephaites, for Moses had attacked them and driven them out. But the Israelites failed to drive out the people of Geshur and Micah, so they continue to live among the Israelites to this day. That was verse 13.
Okay. Go ahead and read through
15.
Yeah, to 15.
Okay. And Moses did not assign any allotment of land to the tribe of Levi. Instead, as the Lord had promised them, their allotment came from offerings burned on the altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. Moses had assigned the following areas to the clans and tribes of Reuben.
Okay. One of the things that's interesting here, even though we're going through a detailed account of the distribution of the land to the nine tribes that remain, it was 12, of course, but Moses had already, through God's declaration, assigned three of the tribes territory and property. But one of the things that really jumps off of the page, and we can many times miss it if we get caught up in, you know, the names and trying to get a sense of the pronunciations and all of that, is that God is a God of details. Mm-hmm. And that God is really concerned about the details in this particular chapter. And so he is concerned about the details in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes we think that some of the things that we need to bring to God are too small or too minute, that God is not really interested in that. But can I tell somebody tonight that it makes no difference what it might be, whether it's small, it's a small thing, or whether it's something that you think God did not want to hear about, or you're going to try to figure it out yourself, that God is concerned about the details. So you need to express to God all of the things that you mm-hmm. want him to deal with in your life, and not just take for granted that you can handle some of the things because it might seem small to you. Mm-hmm. But even though it might be a small thing, you still need to come to God with it, because God is a God of details.
Amen.
And he's concerned about the details of our lives.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we look at the bigger picture.
That's right.
But God is still concerned with every little detail.
That's right.
And he makes sure that the details are taken care of, and you usually say details make the difference.
That's right. Details make the difference. The anointing makes the difference. And God is a God of details, and God is a God of promise. And I dare not just hold back and not tell God about some of the small things that happening in my life, because I want him to handle the small things as well as the big things. And interesting thing about that, Lady Kim, when we feel that God can handle the small things, we don't have a problem with coming to him with the big things.
Amen.
Because if God is able to do something in a small situation that we might think is something that he's not concerned about, then just imagine what he'll do. If he took care of that, then guess what? He'll take care of this next situation for you. So there's no secret to what our God can do. What he did back then, just like he did for Joshua and the children of Israel in terms of being concerned about the details, he's concerned about the details of our lives as well.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're in the 13th chapter of Joshua. We're moving right through. If you have questions or comments, seemed like we had a couple of comments there, Lady Kim. I don't know. Go back a little bit and see.
Did we have She was talking about the learning and leaning from yesterday.
Well, what did, who is that?
Sister Gwen.
Sister Gwen, okay.
Learning, living, and leaning. We learn that our quality of living is greatly increased when we lean on the Almighty.
That's right. That's good. That's real good. Okay. When we lean. And so I think that that 13th verse of Philippians, we don't want to digress, but he says, in all of thy ways, not that's not it, but he was talking about how important it was for us to trust God. You don't have that up, still up, do you? In the 13th verse of Philippians, that fourth chapter. I can pull it up right quick.
Here it is right here.
Okay. What does it say?
For I can do all things
through Christ who strengthens me. And so that's where we have to lean on God. That's where I was going with that in that 13th verse. Because we can do everything, all things through Christ. And the only way that happens is that we lean on God and we lean not into our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he's promised to direct our path. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Paul was alluding to when he talked about that in that fourth chapter of Philippians, the 13th verse. Mm-hmm. I can do all things. That's, he was getting his strength from leaning on, depending on God.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. But we're in the 13th chapter of Joshua tonight, and we're going through, and we're seeing that God is a God of details, and that he is concerned about the things that happen in our lives. What happened?
I was laughing at what Sister Gwen said. She said, details is a good representation of what's at the head.
Okay, all right. She's going to have to explain that to us.
Details is what's a good representation of who's ahead of the details.
Oh, okay. I'm a little slow tonight, but
you'll catch up.
Yeah, I'll catch up in a few minutes here, but details.
That's what she means. Okay. Details is a good representation of what's at the head.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Sister Gwen, you're rolling. You're cooking with gas tonight. But we're in the 13th chapter of Joshua, and Lady Kim just finished reading through 15 of those verses, and there are 33 verses here. And we see that God is really going through the process with the 9 tribes that remain who have not received their portion and their territories of the land that they had already, that they are conquering. And we see that Joshua is getting old. As a matter of fact, some theologians say that he was well into his hundreds by now, because he started, when he started this pilgrimage, he was in his 80s. And now here it is in the 13th chapter. God is very detailed and descriptive about Joshua's condition, but it's a clear indication from that first verse that God was not through with him. And so God is not concerned with how old you are, but he's concerned, he's not so much interested in your age as he is your availability. And so if you're available, God can use you even at 100 years old. That's where I'm going with that.
Amen.
And Joshua is a clear indication of God using him even beyond the time that many of us may consider we need to be at the house sitting down.
All right. Are we ready to move on?
We're ready to move.
Okay. So I stopped at verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the 13th chapter of Joshua. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of Arnon of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, to the plain beyond Medeba. It included Heshbon and the other towns on the plain, Dibon, Bamoth-Baal, Beth-Baal, Meon, Jahaz.
Go ahead and push it. Push it.
Kadima.
Step on it.
You stop. You're making me mess up.
Somebody tell Lady Kemp, say, read. She's doing a great job.
These are messing me up this week. Kirmarat, Shebama, Zereth Shahara.
What verse are you on?
19.
Verse
on
19.
The hill above the valley, okay. Beth Peor and the slopes of Pisgah and Beth Jeshmoth. The land of Reuben also included all the towns of the plain and the entire kingdom of Sihon. Sihon was the Amorite king who had reigned in Heshbon and was killed by Moses along with the leaders of Midian, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, princes living in the region who were allied with Sihon. The Israelites had also killed Balaam, son of Beor, who used magic to tell the future. The Jordan River marked the western boundary for the tribe of Reuben. The towns and their surrounding villages in this area were given as a homeland to the clans of the tribe of Reuben.
Okay, that's 23.
Yes.
Let's read down to about 25.
Moses had assigned the following areas to the clans of the tribes of Gad. Their territory included Jazer, all the towns of Gilead, and half of the land of Ammon as far as the town of Aroer, just west of Rabbah. It extended from Heshbon to Ramath Mizpah and Betami, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Lodabar. We know about Lodabar.
That's
though.
Right. That's right.
To what verse?
What verse are you on now?
26.
Okay. We read through 26. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was 26.
Okay. And I think
Lodabar.
Lodabar is described here as a different, the border of Derba. Is that what you would say?
No.
It says just, Lodabar.
Mm-hmm, to the territory of Lodabar.
Okay. And you see that several people are encouraging you to go ahead and read and go ahead and push it. But you're doing an excellent job in terms of just descriptive. Because, see, we can sometimes people can quit right here when they, and that's part of what happens when we start reading the Bible and we get to places where we get lost in the process. And a lot of people say the devil is in the details. But God is concerned about details, and God is a God who wants to make sure that he brings clarity to every area of our life, and that we ought not take for granted some things that we think we can handle in and of ourselves. But even though God might give us the power and the capacity to do it, just as he did for Paul in that 13th verse of 4 of Corinthians 4, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God could give you the strength to handle the little minute things that we think that we don't want to bring to God. And it's being evident, and it's on display here in this 13th chapter, that he is a God of details. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that we be clear in terms of bringing everything to God and letting God sort it out and let God make the distribution, just as he's doing in describing this land and the territories that all of the tribes are taking and as possession doing this move through the promised land.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Any questions or any comments there?
No, they were just encouraging me to read.
Okay. All right. So we're in the 13th chapter of Joshua, and we're moving right through. Time is getting away from us. If you do have prayer requests or praise reports or something that you would like to share, then go ahead and make that known by putting it in the chat as well. We're going to go ahead and read through 33. Not very much is going to change. There's not going to be very much of a shift from what we've already gone through, but we want to go ahead and read that, and then we'll come back and see if there are any other questions or any comments or any other clarity that you might want to bring to this.
Okay, and we're in verse 27. In the valley were Beth Haram, Beth Narah, Sukkoth, Zaphon, and the rest of the kingdom of King Sihon of Heshbon. The western boundary ran along the Jordan River, extended as far north as the tip of the Sea of Galilee, and then turned eastward. The towns and their surrounding villages in this area were given as a homeland to the clans of the tribe of Gad.
Mm-hmm.
Moses had assigned the following area to the clans of half of the tribe of Manasseh.
Okay.
The territory extended from Mehoram, including all of Bashan, all the former kingdom of King Og, and 60 towns of Jer in Bashan. It also included half of Gilead and King Og's royal city of Ashtaroth and Edreel. All this was given to the clans of the descendants of Machir, who was Manasseh's son. These are the allotments Moses made while he was in the plains of Moab across the Jordan River east of Jericho. But Moses gave no allotment of land to the tribe of Levi,
mm-hmm.
for the Lord, the God of Israel, had promised that he himself would be their allotment.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord himself had promised that he would be their allotment. And that, which tribe was that?
That was Levi.
Levi.
Uh-huh. You know, Levites were the priests.
That's right, that's right.
So God promised that he would give them their allotment. Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting.
It is. And so we're still on the same wavelength in terms of God being a God of details. And I think one of the things that we can one of the takeaways from this particular chapter is above in reference to what we're talking about in terms of the detail is that God made a covenant with the children of Israel, and he wanted to make sure that his promise would be fulfilled in terms of what he said he would do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is with us, because making it relevant and making this really, you know, speak to us, God makes promises. His word, in his word, there are promises that are attached to us as it relates to our covenant with him. And once we accept the Lord as our personal Savior, then we come into covenant with him. And the promises that are made in reference to are the ones that he would want us to, you know, claim for ourselves. And so, God's going to fulfill the promises. And many times what happens, Lady Kim, in my opinion, is that we don't understand fully the promises that we do have, because we don't want to study his word. We don't want to read the word. But the Bible reminds us that our faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the more we grow in our faith as a result of hearing the word, it ought to inspire us then to study the word, because it tells us that we need to study, as Timothy said, and Paul was challenging Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so once you know the word and understand the promise, then you're in covenant relationship with God. And God is a covenant-keeping God. He's a promise fulfilling God, and if he said he would do a thing, it shall come to pass. And I think many times we find ourselves getting in hot water and in trouble, and we try to go and find out what the promises are after we have gone down the wrong road, after we have fallen into the ditch. But That's good, but we need to make sure that we know the promises before that happens, and maybe we can avoid some of the pitfalls in life that many times we are not aware of because we won't read the word and study the word for ourselves.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good.
Okay. Brother Montez says God never breaks promises. That's right. He never breaks promises. He fulfills his promises. He's a God that you can count on. People might let you down and break promises, but God will never let you down.
Amen. God doesn't break promises, but it's in his own time. And see, the thing mm-hmm. about that is we get impatient with
That's
God.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we say God hadn't heard our prayers or God didn't keep his word. It's just not God's timing for that yet, mm-hmm. whatever that is we're going through. So the word is hold on. Be
hold
patient.
On.
God and help is on the way.
Okay.
God never breaks his promises. Okay. He always fulfills his promises.
That's good. That's good. Some things take a minute in order for it to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
And so many times we have to allow our experiences to catch up with the word of God.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, as you just indicated, they become weary and impatient. Because it hadn't manifested in the time that we thought it should. But we have to believe God, and God will show up in the ninth hour when
yes,
we're ready
he will.
To throw in the towel, and he'll open up the very windows of heaven and pour you out the blessing that's attached to the promise that he said would be yours.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And God had promised the children of Israel this land,
mm-hmm.
and now it's coming to fruition, and now they're claiming that land that God had promised them. But I like that part where it talked about the Levites, the tribe of Levi. They wouldn't have any land, and it said God would be their allotment.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
Sometimes we're not satisfied with God being our portion.
Wow.
You know, but we have to be satisfied with what God gives us.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever God gives us, it's going to be a blessing to our lives.
Okay. And that's that last verse, I think, verse
yes.
33, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And because Moses had not given no land to the tribe of Levi, and Moses had explained to them that the Lord God was their inheritance,
mm-hmm.
that God was going to take care of them, and he was all they needed. And he would take care of them in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at that, Reverend, if God says he's going to handle it, then any way you bless me, Lord,
I'll be satisfied.
I'll be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Who you sing that song? Was that?
You know, I'm not the song person. That's Dr. Q.
Okay.
She. I think she's on here.
Any way you bless me, Lord. Was that
Vanessa
Bell?
Sister, I don't know.
I'll be satisfied. And so it is here. Did she come up with something there?
It says, sing it out, Lady Kim. When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend, and see his eyes on the sparrow, I know he watches me. Okay.
Nobody said who.
No,
was
that
the,
wasn't.
About the song. But that was the other, that was the one you were talking about when God had the portion of it.
Right,
there.
Right.
When you know that song.
My yeah, I know that song now. I know the one. Come on now, we got to sing. It's not choir rehearsal.
Well, we want to hear you sing. I believe we got about 15 people on there that want to hear you sing.
Eyes on the sparrow. Okay. I know he watches me.
Okay.
All right. Angelic Gospel Singers. Is that who sang that, Brother Martez? The Angelic Gospel Singers? All right. If you say so, because I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay. Well, we're closing out this 13th chapter, and it was very descriptive. Hezekiah Walker did
a version of
okay.
Any Way You Bless
Me. Any Way You Bless mm-hmm. Me, Lord, I'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
And so we pretty much covered this ground tonight. Moses is getting up in years. He's aging, and God is still using him in a powerful and a mighty way. He was letting him know that there were some things that he needed to in fact, continue to do. And if God still got you here, if God still has you on the radar, then that means that he's not through.
Not
with
through.
You. So just hold
God
on.
God is not through blessing
and don't,
you.
And don't allow the years that you might think is an indicator of you to go sit down and retire. You don't retire from the service of God. And I think our speaker on yesterday, Sister Anita Larkin, she said it's a difference between a calling and a career. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what she said. Mm-hmm. But it was clear in her talking about the work that she did as a nurse that it was a calling. Because some people look at it as a career and they get caught up in looking at the benefits and the dollar amount and all of that and when it's time for them to render their service for retirement. But God, if you're working for the Lord, God will give you what you need. If it's a calling that's on your life, God will make sure that he will perform what he said he would, and you'll be in covenant relationship and not in a contract like on your job. Because in a covenant relationship with God, God is a covenant keeping God. He's a God of his word and a God of his promises, and he shall bring it to pass. And he is concerned about the details of our lives and the things that many times we think we don't want to bother God with are sometimes the things that we need to go ahead and share with God. And even if God gives us the capacity and the will to get it done, we can do all things through the very Christ that strengthens us. Mm-hmm. And so God will, he will give you the motivation and the desire to continue to press toward the mark, just as he's doing for Joshua. Joshua is very easily 100 years old now, and he's still in charge. He's still
going strong
and still pressing toward that mark. And so don't grow weary tonight in well-doing. Continue to trust God, and God will see you through.
Amen. Dr. Q said you were right. It was Vanessa Bell Armstrong in 1983.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. So I win the prize tonight.
You win the prize.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What were we talking about? I don't remember.
The song.
No, I'm just messing. Anyway, you bless me, Lord.
Okay.
I'll be satisfied.
It said one version by Hezekiah Walker. Hezekiah Walker came way after Vanessa Bell Armstrong.
That's right. That's right.
You know, there's not a lot of new songs. They just remake these old songs and put them to a new beat.
That's right. And Martez said it was the angelic gospel singers.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these were probably versions of, what was the year he indicated? 1982. So all of them are probably different versions of that song.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Do you have any prayer requests, Lady?
Yes, King? There were several prayer requests mentioned on tonight. I see my good friend Jetty Dotson is watching.
Jetty,
we are praying for you.
How you doing, Miss Jetty? All right.
Jetty, we are praying for you. The Lord is still blessing you, and we are thankful that he's still continuing to bless you. We pray that you will be healed, delivered, and set free. Amen.
That's right.
Jesus. There's also a request for prayer for the Payne family and the loss of a loved one. Request for prayer for Nikki Buchanan Hurd and the loss of her mother. And then Sister Dora Jefferson in Chicago. She's experiencing health challenges. We want to lift her up. Then one of our own members, Sister Edna Watkins, made her transition to be with the Lord. That funeral will be this coming Thursday, March the 31st at Serenity Funeral Home on Sycamore View with the graveside service following at Memorial Gardens. So we hope you all can support the family of Sister Edna Watkins. Sister Lena Jackson, one of our members, lost her brother, Timothy Williams. So we're lifting up Sister Lena Jackson. And also Sister Antoinette Martin lost her cousin, 22 years old, in a terrible car accident. And we want to lift up Sister Antoinette's family in our prayers also. So that's all that I have. Oh, yes, Sister Joyce Perkins, the Perkins family, Sister Joyce and Brother Jerry, and mm-hmm. also their daughter Tawana.
That's
we want to lift up the Perkins family in our prayers on tonight also. Sister Perkins had a little scare at church yesterday, but she was able to be at home last night and rest comfortably. And so we just thank God that she's doing much better.
That's right. And Sister Jetty, tell my good friend, Brother Al, we said hello. And I had all kind of flashbacks when I saw your name on the thread tonight, because we have come from a long way and we have much history together. And we really know what our God can do.
Amen.
And the same God, he's well able to see you through this as well. And so we're praying with you and praying for you, and just be encouraged even tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Anything else as we prepare to close out with prayer?
Well, we will have our leadership meeting this Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. So don't forget, leaders, ATOP leaders, our virtual leadership meeting, 10 o'clock a.m., very important meeting. And then on Sunday, ministry leaders, don't forget to prepare for the ministry fair.
That's right. That's right.
We need your displays for the ministry fair. The displays can be set up following our leadership meeting, probably around noon till about 1 o'clock or 11:30 to 1 o'clock. You can come and set up your displays. Or if you don't make it on Saturday, you can come at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. From 9 to 9:30 will be the setup window. No setting up after 9:30 because we want to prepare the sanctuary for worship at that time. So set up for the ministry fair.
Okay, all right. Well, Lady Kim, will you close us out with a word of prayer tonight?
Absolutely. Let us go to God in prayer tonight. God, we thank you, we bless you, and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. God, we are just so grateful and thankful tonight for how you continue to bless us over and over again. That any place grace, that grace that we don't deserve, oh God, that you give us grace and favor even though we don't deserve it. And we thank you, oh God. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would hold and comfort the Payne family in the loss of that loved one. Hold and comfort that Buchanan Hurd family in the loss of that mother, God. God, we ask that you would meet the family of Edna Watkins and comfort them in the loss of our dear sister. Comfort Sister Lena Jackson and
yes,
her
God.
Family in
yes,
the
God.
Loss of that brother. Comfort Sister Antoinette and her family in the tragic loss of that cousin, God. God, we lift up Dora Jefferson to you in Chicago and those health challenges. You know all about Sister Dora. You made and you created that old body that she's in, God. So we know that you can fix it. So work on her behalf. We lift up the Perkins family to you. We lift up Brother Jerry
Thank
and Sister
God.
Joyce.
Thank you, God.
Oh, God, continue to heal their bodies in the name of Jesus. And continue to strengthen Tawana and Sister Joyce as they take care of Brother Jerry, God. God, we lift up our friend, Sister Jetty, to you, God.
Yes, God.
We know that
Hallelujah.
She knows you.
Yes, God.
But more than that, you know her, God.
Thank
so
you,
we
God.
Thank you for holding her in the hollow of your hand, for continuing to heal her body time and time again.
Yes, God.
We thank you for the doctors, the nurses, the oncologists, all the people, oh God, that you have surrounded her with that continue to help her health improve. We thank you for her husband that continues to stand by her side
thank
and her
you,
family that continues to undergird her. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to strengthen her where she's weak and build her up where she's torn down. And we thank you, oh God, for your tender loving mercies and your everlasting love. We love you and we thank you, God, and we bless you. God, we ask your grace and blessings to be upon our ministry fair this Sunday, oh God. Oh God, we ask that those who are inactive in our congregation become active members of Anointed Temple of Praise. We need boots on the ground to do the work that you have called us to do. So we thank you in advance, oh God, for all those who are going to find something for their hands
yes,
to do.
Yes, God.
And we love you tonight, God. We bless you. We honor you. We ask that you would continue to give our pastor strength and
thank
wisdom
you,
and guidance from you, oh God. And we ask that we continue to walk by your Holy Spirit, by the grace that you have given us. We thank you. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Well,
amen.
Certainly, praise God for that powerful prayer tonight. And look, we hope that you have a fantastic rest of the day and continue to trust God. And remember that we serve a God of details, and God is concerned about what you're going through. And whatever you might think is insignificant to God, go ahead and release that in the atmosphere. And I believe God is going to honor that, because he knows your heart, but he's waiting on you to speak it so that it might come to pass. It shall come to pass. And just trust God and watch him do a new thing in your life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
Be blessed.